Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Left of Straight Show. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. It is Monday, June 13th. Thanks so much for tuning in, everyone. Really appreciate it. Bittersweet today. We're still kind of reeling from yesterday's news down in Orlando. It's been a tough day and a half here, guys. I got to say, we have the largest mass shooting in the U.S. history, and it happens at an LGBT club in Orlando, Florida, during Pride Month. So it's been kind of tough to wrap around that, and appreciate all of the well wishes that are going online. You can only watch it for so long because there's also a lot of haters that are kind of getting into the woodwork as well. So that's been a little hard to watch. So
famous love scenes in my head.
that's Carly Robin Green with What Love Is All About. And it's definitely what we need during this time of crisis down in Orlando. So definitely sending love out to everyone out there. We're having a little trouble getting Zach on the line. He's having some trouble with his phones. We're going to play one more song while I try to get a hold of him again here. This is Damian Escobar. He's going to be coming to Pittsburgh this month. I'm so excited to listen to him. If you didn't listen to his show, you need to go back and check out Damian Escobar. Fantastic violinist. He was the third runner-up for America's Got Talent, him and his brother. He has fused hip-hop and classical into the violin, just amazing what he can do. I'm going to do his cover of Adele's Hello, because, you know, one of my favorite songs. So I play a lot of different versions of it here. This is Damian Escobar with Hello. I'm going to try to get Zachary Cloud on the line. We'll be back in just a couple of moments. You're listening to Left to Straight right here on Left to Straight Radio.
Thank you.
All right, and that was Damian Escobar with Adele's Hello. Guys, amazing what he can do on a violin. Who would have thought? Well, guys, I'm so excited. My first guest is a very handsome young man looking to make his way in Los Angeles as an actor and establish himself as a yoga instructor as well. A friend of his reached out to me on social media and asked that I should have him on the show. I checked out his Instagram account, and I'm a fan. I mean, he's doing some great things. Hopefully, we can all say we knew him when he emerges as the next big thing in acting or the Billy Banks of the yoga world. Please welcome to the show, Zachary Thor. Zachary, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be on.
Well, I'm excited to have you on. I'm sorry we're having a bad connection today. It just seems to be one of those Mercury and retrograde type things, but we'll do the best we can here. If we get cut off, we'll just go to a song and come back then, okay?
Okay, sounds great.
Well, I'm so excited to talk to you. Like I said, we had a mutual friend on social media reach out to me and said, you got to have this.
Thank you so much.
Well, talk to me a little bit. How old are you?
I am 23.
That's awesome. And where did you grow up? Did you grow up in L.A.? Or tell me a little about growing up and what is your background and what made you interested in both acting and in yoga?
Well, I actually grew up in Texas. I moved to the States from Canada when I was about 13 and then moved to Texas with my family. After I finished high school, I actually had a scholarship for diving to Colorado State University. Went to Colorado for a little bit and then moved back to Texas. And then after that, after I finished school in Austin, I moved to San Francisco for a little bit and then finally moved down to LA last May. So I've only been in LA for a year, but it's been pretty great. I've done a lot with yoga and acting, really. yoga's always been kind of part of my life. My mom has a few studios that she owns in Houston, and it's always been kind of part of my life. So acting, I didn't really even start that until I got into LA. So I was kind of trying to like put both of them together and like be able to do both of them at the same time, really.
Nice. That's awesome. You're like me, you're a vagabond. You travel over every place. I've lived like 14 different places. It's crazy. But it's kind of cool. You get to experience a lot of different things.
Yeah, definitely. I love to like explore and see the world. And, you know, that's like part of like, you know, the goal, like to see what else is out there.
Right. Very cool. And what's one of the, is LA so far your favorite place, or where's your favorite place you live so far?
Probably, I love LA. LA is probably one of my favorites just because, like, there's so much. Like, if I get sick of Hollywood, I can drive down 45 minutes and get to Laguna Beach and be in a completely different place, and it's just perfect.
Right, exactly. That's what I love about it, too. I'm the opposite of you. I'm the silly guy. I was born and raised in L.A. and lived there for almost 29 years, and then I moved back to Northeast Ohio because I'm a dummy. But it is a great place to grow up.
That's the dream, right? That's awesome.
So talk to me about, have you established your own studio yet in yoga, or how you've been practicing since you're very young? And what is it that really attracts you to yoga? What made you really stick with it as a kid? I mean, obviously your mom's kind of, it's there for you already, but what made you fall in love with it?
Well, I went to school, I have my bachelor's in kinesiology, and when I first moved to California in San Francisco, I was working at Crunch Fitness as a personal trainer. And then after that, after I left Crunch, I started working at my friend's private studio, teaching yoga. Oh, actually I wasn't. I was just doing like group fitness classes that I kind of like just came up with on my own. And he was like, hey, you should get your yoga certified. And so our teacher training yoga with like intensive from Core Power, and after that, like I just fell in love with it more than personal training. So right now I'm teaching at a few places, some studios around, and then I do like free yoga on grassy areas like by Griffith Park, and you know, it's all donation based, and right now I'm just kind of doing that. And then working at the studios, I teach at Warner Brothers as well for like people who work at the Warner Brothers lot. So yeah, like it's all over the place. I'm just going from one place to the other.
That's awesome. That's a great way to do it. We'll have to hook you up with our good friends. We were just talking about them earlier. We have friends of the show, Ronnie Kroll and Eddie Lobo, have the Friend Movement out in LA. Have you heard of them yet?
Oh, no.
Well, they're really good friends of the show. They have a program they started. It's an organization called Friend Movement, and they're out there trying to make friends of the world. And they do, like, once a month they'll go to one of the parks out there and they'll feed the homeless. They'll make, like, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And another thing, they'll do an event, like they did a Fashion Rocks event not too long ago. And they're always looking for great creative people like that. I'm sure while they're giving out food, you could do a yoga class. It would be a great connection point. They're starting their own show, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Very cool. And do you like just do all group setting like that teaching, or have you do you do private lessons for people in their homes, or does that seem to be the whenever I think of LA, I think everyone wants to have their private lessons or their personal trainer, as you said.
No, yeah, I do actually do some private yoga training at people's homes. I've done, I have a few regular clients that call me every once in a while for a free yoga session. Not a free, private yoga session. And for most of the time, it's at the studios or at the parks that I advertise, and people just come and they give out donations and... yeah, but if anyone ever wanted a free session, I could totally, I'm always there for that.
That is so cool. Now, talk about yoga. I'm not familiar with yoga. Everyone knows I'm a chubby person, so you got to help me out here, Zach. I need the help. But tell me what.
So yoga is a mind and body connection. The yoga, there's different types of yoga. The yoga I do is vinyasa yoga, which means flow. So when you're moving your body, you're connecting your breath, your mind, and your body, and all of it is one. And so when you're doing the postures, you breathe in as you go down, and you breathe out as you come up, and you try to keep your mind clear of whatever it is, and then with the like toning, how you tone the body, I do actually hot yoga. So we turn up the room to about almost 100 degrees. We turn up the temperature, and we turn up a humidifier to keep your body sweating, to kind of like sweat out any like toxins, anything that you don't need. Just we try to let everything that go. And then it really does really work your body. It's really intense, actually, the way you put your body through these weird postures that your body isn't used to. You're activating all those muscles that you usually don't activate during the day by just walking or sitting around.
Nice. That's very cool. I got to tell you, as a gay man, I thought hot yoga was something entirely different, but that's okay. That's awesome. And then what's the best way for someone to kind of ease into yoga if they're not familiar with it? Is it best to take a class, or is it to watch a video, or to start stretching on your own? What do you recommend people to kind of slowly ease into?
I definitely recommend taking a class. I think for the first time, if you do yoga and you just watch a video, you're really not getting your body in the right position. You want to be in the right alignment with yoga.
Gotcha.
It's not about how deep you go. It's about getting your body into that right posture. So with someone just watching a video, the instructor isn't there to, like, guide you. And, like, little adjustments make a huge difference.
Gotcha. I understand. That's very cool. I'm so excited. I'd love to learn that. That's so exciting for you. That's awesome. Now talk about the acting a bit. Are you auditioning all the time? Have you got any breaks yet? Or talk about what kind of pushed you that direction? What have you done so far?
Well, actually, last week I was on the set of Fuller House for season 2. And it's on Netflix. And then before that, I was on an ABC show called The Goldbergs. And I was just like little guest stars, just on a few episodes here and there, making an appearance.
That's awesome, though, for your first year in LA. That's got to be way cool.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, it's crazy. It's like really happening. It's cool. It's really awesome.
What was it like? How did you find yourself an agent? Everyone says you have to know somebody. How were you able to break that barrier and get in there?
Actually, I don't have an agent right now. I have just been submitting myself on LA Casting and all like those websites, Backstage. I just submit myself and go in for open auditions. Right now I don't even have an agent. So, yeah, if you're really determined and this is what you really want to do, then you'll find a way.
I love that. That's awesome that you're on a major network on ABC, and Fuller House is one of the big, most talked about for Netflix this season. You've landed some pretty good jobs for doing it on your own. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I mean, again, they're just really small, like one-episode roles, but it's a start, right?
It's a big start. There's a lot of people who are just waiting in line to get anything. So that's really important. Now, do you have a particular type of acting you're drawn to? Do you prefer comedy? Do you just prefer to get a role? Or what makes you want to be an actor?
Well, the biggest reason why I want to be an actor is because I want to be able to inspire people to, like, follow their dreams and to make people understand, like, that anything is possible. If you want something hard enough or you work hard enough, then you'll be able to get it. And acting is just kind of like a way to express my kind of art form, and then kind of my talent, just like showing people like really raw emotion. So like if I could have like any role, I don't know, it'd be probably more like on the dramatic side, something like that really like maybe like really brings tears to people's eyes, just like that passion, you know?
That's awesome. That's a great connection to the yoga, because yoga brings out, like you were saying before, with your breathing and emotions, it really, once you're aligned like that, you really are, I've been told, like I said, I haven't practiced it myself yet, but I know people that swear by yoga, and they say it brings them really in tune with their emotions, and I'm sure that helps a lot in your acting.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. I really think they go hand in hand with my life, for sure. Thank you so much. Yeah, and ever since I was a little kid, like, I was really nervous of, like, leaving the house and, like, being on my own. And I don't know, ever since I graduated high school, I've kind of been doing that without even realizing it, just moving from one place to the other and just really experiencing all that I can. Meeting as many awesome people as I can.
That is cool. Now, are you going to any workshops or going to any acting classes and things?
Yeah. There's LA is filled with acting schools. And I've been to a few different ones already since living here. But yeah, you definitely, if I would give any advice to anyone who wants to become an actor, you definitely have to come here and take some classes. Because I didn't study it in college at all. And I went in for my first audition and I had no idea what to do. It was kind of embarrassing. And then I took some classes and I'm like, wow, like, it really helps. It definitely helps. Classes are a big thing.
That's cool. Now, how much time do you spend? I hear there's people going on auditions all the time. How much time do you have to spend going to auditions, and how free does your schedule have to be? Does yoga help that schedule be a lot freer? Do you have set classes for your yoga? Or are you able to kind of manipulate your time around auditions?
Yeah, I do. So I teach about maybe 3 to 4 classes a day, and they're all like spread out throughout the day. They start at like 6:30 in the morning, and then they go from there. And then auditions usually take 15 minutes to 2 hours. So I always try to make my calendar and my time efficient to that. So like if I have a class at 6:30 in the morning, and then I won't have another class until like 4, then I have plenty of time to go in for an audition, do what I need to do. So yeah, yoga is a perfect job for me to become an actor as well, because it gives me that freedom and that flexibility to go in whenever I need to.
There you go. Flexibility, no joke intended with yoga. Ha ha ha.
Exactly.
Now, have you found yourself, now that you're doing this, and you're doing this all on your own, and you're getting these great places, like I said, you're going, you haven't got the best roles yet, but you're going to some really well-known shows. Have you found yourself to be starstruck, or how has that been for you? Are you able to kind of detach what your feelings are as a fan from your acting?
I don't know. Like, I've never really been starstruck, really. Like, as a kid, I went to a lot of concerts, and I always try to go backstage to meet the artists just to, like, be able to talk to them, not just because, like, I wanted their autograph or anything. I just wanted kind of, like, to hear their story, kind of like this. And I mean, I'm honored to be in people's presence like that, but I'm not, like, I don't get, like, crazy, you know what I mean? I just, like, it's just, like, I'm, like, wow, I get to be, like, I get to meet you, and, like, that's awesome, and, like, I just want to know, like, you know, a little bit more of their story, and just like us.
That's very down-to-earth of you. That's a great way to approach it, too. I think that's fantastic. So, is there anything, what would be your dream position? Is there anything you've tried out for you really, really want, or is there anything you're looking for? What would be one of your dream jobs, you think?
Dream jobs. It would be really awesome to be, like, in a movie, like, maybe one of them, like, next Star Wars, or just, like, a big theatrical, like, production movie, just, like, with a bunch of special effects, just, I want to see, like, something like that. I definitely want to be a part of that and, like, watch something like that come to life, where, like, the magic of the movie, like, you wouldn't see without everyone working together and making this production, like, happen. Something like that, for sure.
That is cool.
Probably my biggest role model would be Johnny Depp, just because his range of acting is so broad and just so wide. He can become a pirate and then a crazy Mad Hatter in a trippy universe. He's just so, like, every time he becomes a character, like, you just believe it fully. And I think, like, you know, that's every actor's dream, is to really become a new person every time.
Very cool. And so, besides Johnny, is there anyone you've ever wanted to work with? Is there any actor or actress that you'd really like to work with?
I would love to work with Charlize Theron. She is just, like, the most beautiful woman I've ever seen, and she is just so intense on screen, and it would be awesome to definitely work with her.
Yeah, speaking of range, man, she has a lot of range. She is fantastic.
Absolutely. Oh, it was awesome. Actually, that was a few weeks ago, and I went up there to visit my family came from Texas to visit me, and I actually haven't seen my parents in over 2 years since then, and I just got to see my parents, and we just kind of hung out in Santa Cruz and relaxed, and my dad was up there for work, and so it was just, like, perfect timing, and it was really nice. The hardest thing living in L.A. and doing what I do, I think, is not being able to be with my family.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad you got to visit with them there. That's, like I said, Santa Cruz is one of my favorite places to visit. I used to live in Monterey, which is only about an hour and a half to our drive.
Yeah, I used to have family in Monterey, actually.
Isn't that beautiful there? It's so nice, right on the ocean. And then I drive up to Santa Cruz to the boardwalk, like, I don't know, at least every other weekend. I loved it up there. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place for sure. Oh, man, it was, I mean, I was, yesterday was actually LA Pride, and I was there all weekend. And when I heard about that the next morning, I just couldn't believe it. And then they actually said that there was, like, a car in LA filled with explosives and weapons, and it was like almost right in my neighborhood, and that's scary. It's just so sad that, like, I don't understand how someone can just, like, go into a club and just start hurting people like that. Like, I don't, it's very tragic. And I mean, I don't even know, like, I saw people holding up signs. I even took a picture and posted it on my Instagram. I went up to them and gave them a hug and started talking to them a little bit more about, like, you know, if they were from Orlando. And no, it's just the LGBT community is, we are one and we are a family. And I mean, I would love to do anything I could to help that those families in Orlando.
You really understand the gravity of it and to kind of feel that.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, Pride went on fabulously. Nothing bad happened here in LA, so I'm just thankful. But I mean, I'm very heartbroken that happened this weekend.
And honestly, I mean, we've always kind of had to, as a community, we've had our own little clubs, everything, and I've always felt very safe for the clubs, and a lot of them are people your age. Usually the clubs are 18 to 40-ish, or usually go there and everything. And I've never really felt afraid before, and I still refuse to feel fear, but has it kind of made you think a little differently when you go into any of the clubs in the future?
I mean, from this tragedy, no, because, I mean, there's always tragedies that they've been happening recently from the past 10 years. Things like this have been happening, and honestly, it can happen anywhere. Like, I mean, I feel like you could be just as scared going into a club now than getting onto a plane. And, you know, I think what these people are doing, what these organizations are doing by hurting people like this, be afraid. And I don't think we there's no room to be afraid, because then what are we going to do? Just stay at home all day or, like, the rest of our lives? We can't do that. So being afraid isn't going to change what will happen. So I try just to live life every day as it's happening and try to make the most of it and hope that nothing bad will happen.
Well said, my friend. Now, any highlights for you in Pride yesterday? I saw you took a picture with Tyler Oakley. That's pretty exciting. What were the highlights of Pride for you yesterday?
Actually, me and Tyler, that was the first time I met him, but we actually hung out a little bit. He's actually very nice. He's such a nice guy. And we went to go see the concerts at Pride, and it was actually really fun. Everyone there was just super nice and friendly, and everyone was there just welcoming, and that's what Pride is about. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think, like, especially in L.A., I guess, because it's, you never know who you're going to meet. You never know who anyone really is. Because I was dancing with a bunch of YouTube people, and I didn't even know who they were. And, like, they kind of like that because, like, they're just people just like us. And, you know, everyone's at one. Everyone wants to enjoy as the same. So, play
awesome.
Like, you, it's just great. Yeah, it's awesome. I had such a great time.
Well, tell everyone about where they can find you on social media and about where your classes are so that they can find you for a class. And give them your contact information. Just don't give them a phone number. But go ahead and give them your social media, how they can get a hold of you if they want to either take a yoga class with you or if they just want to follow you on social media.
Yeah, so one of the studios I work for is Core Power, and they have them actually all over the country. So if anyone's listening all over, look up Core Power, and they have a few different classes. They have a good beginner class, which is like a base class, that you could take. And then also for me, if you are ever in the LA area, hit me up on Instagram or Snapchat or Twitter. My all of those are the same. It's Zachary Cloud, ZacaryCloud. And just let me know if you want to come to a yoga class with me or take one of mine or even have a private, let me know. Just ask me questions. If you want to try it on your own, let me know. I'm definitely here to help.
That's awesome. Well, it's been my pleasure getting to know you. What's any next projects? Do you have anything booked? Any other acting gigs booked coming up?
Let's see. Tomorrow I have I'm doing this film, this small film for UCLA, I think, and it's going to be based in the 1950s, and that's kind of all I know so far about it. We start shooting tomorrow, so hopefully that goes well. And then anything coming up, I mean, there's always something. I kind of go day by day, and something comes up like all of a sudden, and then it completely changes my whole life for a few days or weeks or months.
There you go. That's awesome. Well, it's been my pleasure getting to know you, Zach. Hopefully next time I get out to LA, we can have a cocktail or something. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I would absolutely love that. That would be so great.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Zach, stay on the line for a second. I'll say goodbye. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break here. I'm going to play another Damian Escobar. This is Fire to the Rain. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show. I'm your host, Scott Fullerton. We'll be back in just a couple of moments. Alrighty, and that was Damian Escobar, Fire to the Rain. I can't wait to see him in concert in Pittsburgh this month. It's going to be so exciting. Well, guys, that was a great interview. I'm so glad we had Zachary Thor on. He goes by Zachary Cloud on his social media, so be sure to follow him there. 23 years old and really knows what he's doing in his life. That's so awesome. He's doing those classes for yoga all over. In fact, doing those outdoor classes for donations only. And then that's pretty impressive just to be your own agent and already have something on a primetime series and something else.
Start again. Come on, it's a nice day for And that is Garrett Miller with Gay Wedding. So excited to have our next guest on today. He's not only an actor, but a producer, director, writer. He has a hit web series, Child of the 70s, just wrapped its fourth season on YouTube. I can't wait to talk about that. He's currently shooting a movie and always has so many irons in the fire. He's got a birthday weekend coming up. We have a new fragrance to talk about. I'm just so excited to be able to finally talk to him on the show. Please welcome Michael Vaccaro. Michael, how are you?
Hey there. I'm fantastic. I'm having a wonderful, beautiful day here in West Hollywood, California. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to talk to you. I was telling Michael off air that I felt we were supposed to have this interview, I think, 2 months ago, but for some reason we know so many of the name people that I've interviewed that you actually know in real life and I know in radio life. I thought I had you on, so I'm so excited we get to talk for real in person here.
Well, we can also pretend that I've done this before.
Exactly.
We can pretend that this is my second time.
This is the Michael Vaccaro segment. We're going to have it as a monthly segment now. I'm just going to have to bite it up.
Yay. I like that story.
Well, hey, welcome to the show. I mean, I've been
Thank
such a
much.
Fan of your work. You're such a hardworking guy. Talk about what got you started in the business. Are you originally from L.A.? Or give us a little bit of your backstory for my listeners that might not know about you yet.
I can tell you my entire life story. I'm originally from New York City, born and raised in the Bronx. And I actually started working as an actor when I was a child. I think I got my first job, my first movie role or something like that, and I think I was about 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old.
Wow.
And just to give you an idea of how long ago this was, I think when I joined SAG, I think the initiation fee was about $200.
Oh, boy.
And I think now it's about 3,000. So, yeah.
Right.
But I was a child actor, and I did a lot of work in New York City in the theater, so mostly theater actually. And I did some films, and I did some television as well. So I've been doing this my whole life.
That's awesome. And what what brought you to LA eventually?
I came out here for work, and I think I was supposed to be here for about 3 or 4 months shooting a film. And I decided to stay because I miss New York terribly, but I don't ever again in my life want to experience winter. I'm done with winter.
I don't blame
so,
you.
Yeah, I've had enough of that. So I thought, well, I can't beat it. It's beautiful here. I came out in February and it was 20 degrees below zero in New York City and it was 84 degrees here. And I thought, well, I'm not going back. I'm not getting on that plane. I'm not doing it.
Right.
So I've been here ever since. Now, of course, I love New York, and I will always be a New Yorker, and I have friends and family in New York. But I go back frequently. I go back every few months just to sort of check in because I need to be in New York every so often just to stay sane. But I'm here pretty much all the time now, out in LA, and I love it.
Nice. Now, we had the Tonys last night. Were any of your friends nominated? Did you get to see any of the nominated shows while your last trip back?
You know what? I can't remember the last show I saw when I was back. And to be honest with you, no, I don't think I knew anybody who was nominated this year, although I certainly have in the past many times. And, of course, when I was living there, I used to go to the theater all the time.
Right.
But yeah, pretty much since I've been out here, I've pretty much been out of that loop. Although I'm very much looking forward to seeing Hamilton, of course, when it comes here to LA, I think very soon.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic. I mean, it did a great job, of course, last night. We knew it was going to. Lin-Manuel Manuel was just, his acceptance speech was amazing.
It was nice to see Barbara Streisand in her Hamilton outfit.
Exactly. She looked very good.
That was very exciting. I think she's maybe going to do the film version. She's going to play the lead. She's going to play Alexander Hamilton. I'm pretty sure that's what's going
to happen. Oh, there you go. Yeah,
I think she's going to do that instead of Gypsy. Yeah. Right.
What's your must-see or must-go places when you go back to New York? Is there a food place you have to go to or any place you have to go in particular?
Oh, well, I'm a big foodie, and I love to eat. It's pretty much my favorite thing to do, eating. And so, yeah, there are definitely places that I have to go to. There's my favorite Thai place, which is on 9th Avenue in Hell's Kitchen, which is called Room Service. So anybody there in New York, if you have not been to Room Service, It's really great Thai. You have the room service pad Thai. It's so delicious. And they have delicious cocktails. Also, down in Chinatown, my favorite Chinese restaurant is called Wohop. W-O-H-O-P, Wohop. It's on Mott Street. And they have one on the street level, and then they have one underground. So you have to go to the one underground. It's probably been there for 40 years. I don't think they've ever cleaned it once. You're literally sitting in filth.
Is that where you based the town of the 70s?
Yes.
Show?
That's exactly right. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right.
That is so
but
cool.
But it's absolutely delicious. So don't worry about the decor, or don't worry about the roaches and the mice running around. But the food is absolutely wonderfully
delicious.
You can
have the spare ribs, and you promise they won't be sick, right?
That's correct. That was a fictionalized version. That's right. In my show, Child of the 70s, we did shoot a scene that took place in Wohop, where I did get food poisoning. But in real life, that would never happen.
I love talking
those
to a
my, those
foodie.
Are pretty much
We're
my
have
two
to
favorite.
Have you back for a segment all about food. I'm a huge foodie myself. So that's
I
awesome.
Could talk to you endlessly about food. There's no question about it. I have my favorite places in New York, and I have my favorite places here in Los Angeles as well. So.
Very nice. Yes,
and across the country.
I've done many
cross-country road trips, and so I have favorite restaurants really in all the big cities across the United States of America.
We're definitely going to talk about that. I do the three things I could do in my show is entertainment, foodies, and books, and I'm a huge entertainment or a huge reality food show thing, all the competitions.
Yeah.
And I've had
I'm addicted to
Chopped.
Most of the
big Food Network competition people on the show, and it's so much fun to talk to them. And they own some great restaurants all across the country, too, so it is kind of cool.
My dream job, I think, would be as food critic. Like, if somebody paid me to eat, I would die a happy
heaven.
Person. I know. I mean, it's why is this not happening in my life, actually? I have to work on that.
Yeah, but you are already such a handsome and trim guy. I'm already a big guy. I'd be in big trouble doing that. You can afford to do it for a year or so. So wouldn't affect
well, no, I
you
spend,
at all, my friend.
I spend all day, every day in the gym, all day long, just so big, so I can eat.
There you go. I love it. I love it. All right. Well, let's talk about let's go into simple. Let's start talking about Child of the 70s because it's such a fantastic – just finished its fourth season.
That is correct.
What brought you into are you really a fan of the 70s, or what was the whole inception of the series about?
Well, I did in fact come up in the 70s. I do, in fact, consider myself a child of the 70s. But it was just it was an idea that I had in my head for a long time. I'm a big fan of the television series Rhoda, and I think it's kind of a perfect television series and a perfect character. Especially the first two or three seasons are really kind of fascinating television. And I think you have Bob Newhart and you have Mary Tyler Moore and you have Carol Burnett and all those iconic shows. But Rhoda for me is definitely up there. And I have often felt like Rhoda is kind of overlooked as great television. I'm pretty sure that Rhoda's first season, she gets married in season one, and I'm pretty sure that episode, Rhoda's Wedding, was for many, many, many years the top-rated sitcom episode of all time.
It was a fantastic. Now, who played her mom, the iconic actress to play
Nancy
her mom?
Walker.
Oh, God, how did I not remember her name? I've been trying to think of it the entire time you've been talking about it because I love that show and I loved her mother and her interaction. Nancy
Absolutely.
Walker,
Ida Morgenstern.
One of the funniest women on the planet.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
So anyway,
so cool.
I grew up and I had this love of the television series Rhoda, and her journey, Rhoda's journey, I thought was very universal. And as a little gay kid growing up in the Bronx, I really related to her. Rhoda grew up in the Bronx as well with a Jewish family, and I grew up with an Italian family, and they're both exactly the same thing. Italians and Jews in New York are exactly the same.
Right.
And so, but I sort of identified with her journey being, she was overweight and she considered herself, she was sort of the ugly duckling. And then, the realization that she, in fact, was beautiful. And then when she had her own series, she found this man whose name was Joe, and he was gorgeous, and they got married, and the idea was that she lived happily ever after until, of course, they got divorced and had to go through this whole thing until she finally ends up as a strong, beautiful, independent, single woman in New York City. So I sort of wanted to take that idea and do basically my version of that from the perspective of a gay man who, basically throughout his life always felt like the ugly duckling, always felt like, you know, always ashamed of who he was and always put down and always harassed and all that stuff. Who sort of comes into his own, and ultimately we will end the series the same way where my character, whose name is Carlo will finally realize that he's a strong, independent, happy gay man. Did that make sense?
I love that. I do, because like I said, I associate with the show, and like you said, it really completes the journey, because the very first episode, you've lost your job as a phone sex operator. Your boyfriend's cheating on you. Your apartment goes up $3,000 in rent. I mean, it's not a good start for you on the show.
That is correct. Right. Everything falls apart. And he's got an overwhelming, overbearing Italian family who, all they do is yell and scream and curse at each other and fight, which is how I grew up. and so we sort of follow him on his journey as his life changes. And he moves out to Los Angeles, and just, in fact, the same way basically that I did in my own life. And he has just turned 40, so he sort of has that journey of really as an older guy, quote unquote older, finding himself,
right,
and learning to be happy with himself and confident, which is that thing that we all want to be.
Exactly, that is awesome.
And I get to do it with a bunch of 1970s TV icons.
Exactly, that's what I want to talk about. And let's start. What brings you to LA first is you become the personal director of Kiki Lawrence, who is the phenomenal Ann Walker. That is one of the reasons I'm doing my show these days, because I loved watching her show on UBN forever. And I just love that woman. And that is just a great start right there.
Right. My character gets a job, which as the personal assistant to a former 1970s television actress named Kiki Lawrence, who is played by the lovely and talented Ann Walker, who you know from the television series Sordid Lives, and she also has her own radio show now. And so that's the impetus. That's what gets him out to Los Angeles, where he meets his new boyfriend, who becomes his husband, and has all of these adventures in Los Angeles. But yes, Kiki is sort of the catalyst for that. And Kiki, again, is a former 1970s TV star, had her own television series, but now is sort of faded a little bit, and then is a little bitter and angry about it.
Which Anne plays so well. And then season two.
Anne plays so well. And she's not bitter and angry in real life. In real life, she's super happy and wonderful and delicious. Yes.
Exactly. Then season two, the guest stars just come a-poppin'. We have Jerry Jewell from Facts of Life, Bruce Vilanch, Susan Olsen from the Brady Bunch, Johnny Hazard, that us gay people know. I mean, you just started bringing in all these great names. Were you friends with all these people, or how did you reach out to them?
You know, I just had sort of ideas in my head. I just had a kind of a dream cast in my head as I was writing it and putting it together. I had an idea. Oh, my God, wouldn't it be fun if I could get, you know, so-and-so? And pretty much everybody I was able to somehow get in contact with, and pretty much everybody said yes. So, yes, you're right. We have Susan Olsen, who played Cindy Brady on the Brady Bunch, and we have Jerry Jewell. And she's interesting because Jerry Jewell played Cousin Jerry on The Facts of Life, and then she did a television series for HBO called Deadwood in which she played Jewell. And so on my series, she actually plays Jerry Jewell. She actually plays herself.
That's funny. I didn't even know she was in Deadwood. That's funny. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. No, she's great in Deadwood. You should really check it out. She's quite miraculous. You know, we also had Donna Pascal from Angie in Saturday Night Fever. We also have Judy Tenuta, the comedian. She's amazing. And we also have Bruce Vilanch, the writer and comedian, and he's amazing as well. And, of course, we have Ted Lange from The Love Boat. He played Isaac on The Love Boat. And we have a woman named Lynn Marie Stewart, who you might remember played Miss Yvonne on Pee-wee's Playhouse years and years ago.
I wondered where you were from. Okay, thank you.
And in season four, we have an actress named Gina Hecht. Some of you might remember Gina from Mork and Mindy. She was on Mork and Mindy for a long time, and she was also on Seinfeld, and she's a tremendous And we have, I'm sure you know, Terry Ray, who has his own series, From Here On Out.
Exactly. Terry's a great friend of the show, and he's been on since season four. In fact, if I remember correctly, it looks like some of the scenes were actually filmed at Terry's house where his series was filmed. Did you guys actually film
his
at Terry's house?
His series and my series, yes. I took over his house. I hijacked his house, and we filmed a bunch of scenes in his apartment. That's correct.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, I have been able – to pretty much, yeah, just you know, call up people and say, hey, how can I get in touch with Susan Olsen, you know, for instance? And, you know, and generally, usually I just get a phone number and I call and I send them the script and they've all pretty much said yes.
That is awesome. The iconic Randy Jones from Village People. I love that.
Randy Jones, the original cowboy from the Village People. Randy and I have actually known each other for many, many years. And I've been trying to figure out how to get him on the show. And I finally was able to do it this season. And he's also coming back next season as well.
Oh, great. And I love Sheena Metal on there. Of course, her and Susan do their own radio show together. But they are just fantastic on there. You have a great cast, my friend. Great.
Sheena Metal, who of course is an LA talk radio icon,
right,
came on the show, and her and Susan play lesbian lovers. And if for those of you out there who have not seen it, Susan is a big part of this last season. She plays a major part this season.
Yes,
she does. Her character is sort of a really nasty, hateful Hollywood agent. But in the last season, in season four, we really get to find out a lot more about her. We go more in depth with her character, and she turns out to be quite a fascinating character.
Her character is big in a lot of ways.
That's correct. Yes.
That's awesome. Well, a couple things too. One of the things I was so impressed by, and you got to tell me about this. You actually sing the theme song to it. And I want to take
a quick break
because I want everyone to listen to the theme song, and I want to talk about it when we come back. So let's take a quick break. I want to play the theme song here for everybody because I love it, and I want to hear
all about it.
So give me one second to pull it up here. I got to find it. Of course, I should have had it ready ahead of time, but I didn't. So
no, that's right.
Okay. Give me just one second.
It's written by Stephen Ray Watkins, who's an amazing composer.
All right, well, here we go. This is Michael Vaccaro's singing Child of the 70s. You're listening to the Left of Straight Radio Show. We'll be back in just a couple of seconds.
Tell me, what would you say if I flashed a peace sign your way? Tell me, how would you react if I wore bell-bottom slacks?
And we are back with Michael Vaccaro, who just sang that song, the theme song to his very own show, Child of the 70s. Were you always planning on singing the song yourself, or how did that come about?
That was sort of a fluke. I mean, I'm a singer. I've always been a singer. I've done, when I was doing theater in New York, I did tons of musical comedies and stuff like that. But and I have a couple of CDs out. You can find me on iTunes. And a friend of mine, this amazing composer named Stephen Ray Watkins, who is New York-based, I worked with him a few times, and he actually wrote this song. He actually came to me and said, hey, you know what, I have this idea for a song, and here it is. It was a gift, and it was called Child of the 70s. And it wasn't until years later that I actually came up with the idea for the series, and which I called Child of the 70s, and I used that song as the theme.
Oh, that's a great story. That is awesome. Now,
yeah,
two more of the things I love about the series is you're writing, you like to incorporate little inside jokes for everyone. I love there's a couple of lines for Anne on Sordid Lives and UBN
that's
where
correct.
She's on.
That's
does
right.
that kind of make it fun for you to do those little kind of add-ins, little Easter
Absolutely.
Eggs for everybody?
I love doing stuff like that, and I also love throwing in television references, and, you know, hopefully people get it. We have, of course, obviously, we have a ton of Rhoda references throughout
right.
each season. There are always a ton of them, and a bunch of other things as well. There are actually there are a couple of scenes that were basically stolen from Dynasty. You might remember, one of them was with Johnny Hazard, in fact. And but I like to do that. Yeah, it makes it fun for me as a writer to put that stuff in, and it also is super exciting for me when people actually get it.
That is so cool. Well, last thing we'll talk about, we'll move on to some other subjects here, is let's talk about a Quality Vodka's role in there that really plays a major part in the show. I got to tell you, Bert and Doug,
how yes.
I got my show started. They did the very
oh.
first sponsorship for my show back a year ago. They are fantastic
I did not
human
know that.
Beings.
Yes,
they actually
are.
Gave me they were my very first sponsorship to get my radio started when I started last July, and I will forever be indebted to them, and they play a major part of your series now.
That's so interesting because I did not know that, but it of course does not surprise me because they're both really fantastic guys, and we have been tremendously blessed to have them with us. And of course, I mean, you know all about them and about their company.
They've been so good to the community. It's just amazing. Yes.
They have been so good to the community, and just the fact that there are two straight allies who are so incredibly supportive of our community is tremendously heartwarming to me. You know,
it's just amazing, and I'm so glad that they are featured sponsors. Now, it sounds like you're hinting we're definitely going to have a season 5 because I was very disappointed in season 4. There was a bang up ending, so to speak. So I'm excited
yes,
we're going to be seeing something here.
There was a big cliffhanger for season 4. Yes, and we're going to do one more season. I had originally, as I sort of planned it in my head when I started, I definitely saw a sort of a 5-season arc, and yeah. So we're going to do one more season, and then we're going to say goodbye to Carlo and Joe and Olive and Kiki and everybody else.
Well, we got to make sure everyone is watching the series and be ready. Go ahead.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I'm very, very proud of it, and I really want people to watch it, and I really hope that people enjoy it. We have a tremendous cast, and we have a tremendous crew. Tom Pardo is our director, and Terrence Moss is my co-writer. And I'm just really, really proud of it. And of course, you know, Equality Vodka is part of it as well. And like you said, they're actually kind of they're a little bit more than a sponsor now for us. They've
right,
they've become
exactly.
sort of part of the family. And in fact, a huge part of the storyline as well, a huge plot turn because of Equality Vodka. In fact, so.
Well, I'm gonna be playing clips on my website or on my Twitter and passing those out. But you got a lot of other stuff coming down the pike, don't you? You have a new fragrance coming out. You have a birthday coming up. What's going on for you here?
All right. Well, first, if anybody is in the Los Angeles area and can hear me now, we're having a big birthday celebration this Wednesday, the 15th, here in West Hollywood at the Abbey, from 7 o'clock until 10 o'clock. We're just having a big birthday celebration for me. So
yay, happy birthday to you.
Yay, thank you so much. And so, yeah, anybody within earshot who wants to come and enjoy my birthday with me at the Abbey on Wednesday the 15th from 7 to 10 in the evening, please do. I would love to meet all of you. But the party, in fact, is being thrown by this this wonderful man who I'm working with. His name is Scott Travis, and he has a candle company, a candle and fragrance company called CBT Candles. And this has sort of been a dream of mine. I always had this idea that I wanted to create a fragrance. And we sort of met through mutual friends, and I told him that I had this idea for a fragrance, and he sort of just sort of jumped right in and jumped on board and said, hey, yeah, let's do it. And so we have just we've just recently sort of come up with the actual fragrance. And so now we're working on the packaging, and hopefully we'll be able to release it soon. And we're going to do a commercial, and we're going to do a big ad campaign for it. And maybe I can come back and talk to you more about it when we release it. But
I would love
super,
that.
Super excited about it.
That is fantastic. What's
called? I would love. It's going to be called Proteus, and it's Proteus. People say, why? Well, what does that mean? Proteus is a special name for me. It's for many years I was a Shakespearean actor. I pretty much did nothing but Shakespeare for about 5 or 8 years, and Proteus is my favorite Shakespeare character.
Nice.
And he's from Two Gentlemen of Verona. And it's I've yet to actually do the play, but I still want to do that play, and I want to play that part. His name is Proteus. But also in Greek mythology, Proteus, I believe, is the son of Poseidon, who was the god of the sea. And,
he is, and that's what I thought it was, because I'm a huge mythology geek. I love Roman mythology.
Right.
So, yeah, that's awesome.
Right.
Well,
so
you definitely have to come back and do it. Like I said, I would love to sell that for you, because I think that is just fantastic. And one of the things I got to commend you on is I love that you're doing the birthday part of the Abbey. I love that the fourth season was thrown there in cooperation with Friend Movement. Ronnie and Eddie are good friends of the show.
That's correct.
So I just think you're doing such great things to keep it in the community as well. So thank you for that.
Well, you know, when I had said earlier about that journey that Rhoda takes, you know, and Carlo, the character I play on the show, sort of takes a very similar journey to becoming a happy, healthy, independent, confident gay man. I think, you know, one of the reasons that I wanted to do this was because I really got so sick of watching really horrible gay characters. There seemed to be, you know, gay characters seemed to be in either one of two categories. Either they were meth addicts and drug addicts, or they were over the top, super queenie and the butt of the joke, you know, like... Like Jack on Will and Grace, like that kind of thing. So I wanted to play a character who was gay and very gay positive, and who was not the butt of the joke. And that was really important to me. And I encourage other people to do that. And I want to see that more and more. I think it's fantastic that there are more gay characters on television. But I still think that we're in that area where it's still, people are still allowed in entertainment, people are still allowed to make fun of us. And I want that to change, you know. And, you know, we can talk about Orlando if you want. I mean, I believe that one of the reasons why this happened
yesterday.
Yeah, I want
to go there
it's because people are allowed.
One of the things that you guys
people
do
are allowed to make fun
of
us, and people are allowed to victimize us.
Right. And one of the things I think that I want to bring up that I think is so great is you guys are creating a community in of yourselves. Like I said, you have Terry in your show, Terry Ray. You guys are all working together to create these things because Hollywood's tough now. And you got to do your, from what I understand, I'm the outsider, of course, but I can see everyone trying to do such positive things and working together. And that's the way all the old Dean Martin, and then they all have their posse around them. And I just think it's so great you guys are working together for a positive LGBT community. And after an event like yesterday, we need to have our tribe around. So talk a little bit about what yesterday meant to you then.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because, I've always been super militant, maybe, I guess is the word about that. Even, you know, from as far back as I can remember, obviously I've been gay, and I've always been openly gay. I've always been out. And I did feel like back in the day that it definitely hurt my career. But it was more important for me to be honest about who I was. And And I certainly
awesome.
I was not interested in hiding. I was certainly not interested in taking a girl to the premiere or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I encourage other people to do that as well. I'm not necessarily for outing, but I encourage people to come out. I think it's really, really, really important for people growing up in the United States of America, young gay people, to have role models and to have specifically positive role models. And yesterday,
right.
One of the things that was really interesting to me was I saw a lot of posts on Facebook about a lot of people were posting things like, hey, you know what, don't go out today, stay home, stay safe. And my reaction to that was I actually got angry. My reaction to that was, no, I'm not going to stay home. I'm going to go out and I'm going to scream as loud as I possibly can.
Right.
Because that's what you have to do in the face of this stuff. I was yesterday was really troubling and really sad, and everybody, I feel like everybody really felt it.
Right.
But I also felt that everybody who came out yesterday, and we had Pride yesterday in Los Angeles. I feel like everybody
right.
who came out yesterday was really brave and really courageous, and that's what, you know, I think that's what we have to do in this life, in the society that we live in now. We have to keep moving forward. We have to keep opening the door and walking out and being ourselves and being honest and positive about who we are and to keep fighting the fight. You know, I came up in the 80s and everybody I knew died. And
right.
somehow you just have to make the choice, even though sometimes you don't want to, you just have to continue moving forward. You just have to wake up every day and saying, what can I do today to make my life better, to make everybody else's life better? And as a gay man, I think I think there's even more pressure on us to do that.
I agree. And I just think I was so worried because I knew it was LA Pride. I have so many good friends out there, and hopefully I consider you one of them now. And I was just like, I really need to be with people. I think it's more important for us as a community to be with each other when this happens than to, like you say, stay at home and have to deal with it together. I was supposed to go to Pittsburgh Pride. Pittsburgh got theirs yesterday, and I was going to go, but I kind of felt because I do this radio show that I had to do
yes,
a radio
yes,
show.
Yes, yes.
Because there's going
right.
to be people that are in the closet and have no place to go. People are still
right.
can't go out to these festivals, and you have to have community. They're only finding community through Facebook, through Twitter, through Instagram, and through internet radio. So that's the only reason I did my show. But I'm so glad that people kept the prides going, that Pittsburgh Pride was strong, that LA Pride was strong, because we need to be with our tribe. We need to be with each other, especially in these kind of times. And I was so happy to see that happen.
Yeah, me too. No question about it. I agree 100%. Yeah.
And it just, there's so many, I mean, we were talking about, I had this show yesterday. I had Ronnie and Eddie call in, and I had Carrie Droll actually call in, who's a good friend of yours,
yeah.
and a lot of good
she's,
people
she's
call in.
She's one of our associate producers on the show, yeah.
Exactly. And just so many things that people don't think about, the straight community, like all of a sudden we have all these people needing blood, and us as gay men can't donate blood.
Right.
How stupid
right,
is
right.
that? And then
right.
you have I'm watching them. They're trying. They can't release names because they need to notify next of kin. And how many people were kicked out of their house and their kin doesn't want anything to do with them?
That's
just
correct.
There's so many
That's
things
correct.
That people don't have
you
to
know,
deal with that we have to deal with.
It's a terrible, 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 horrible, awful reminder that the fight is not over. I know a lot of people felt like as soon as we got marriage equality that, we can sit down and we can relax now. And I don't think that's the case. It's on a daily basis. Somewhere in this country, somebody is being gay bashed. Some gay teenager is being thrown out of their house. And we as a community have to change that, and we have to work on changing that every single day.
I agree.
People
still
die
of AIDS.
Thank you
so much for your voice.
I mean, yeah, well, my pleasure. I mean, it's something that I'm really super committed to, and we'll spend the rest of my life being committed to it.
Well, it's been my pleasure getting to finally talk to you, Mike. We are going to have you on soon with the fragrances in.
I'll let you know as soon as that happens. Thank you so much.
Check out Child of the 70s on YouTube. Give everyone your social media so they can follow you and keep in touch
with
going on.
Watch the show. You can watch the show, and you can just type in Child of the 70s on YouTube, and you can find it there. Our website is called theofficialchildoftheseventies.com, and that's 70s.com. We're also on Funny or Die, And we also, if people are, you know, are listening to us now outside of the United States of America, we're also on television on Out TV in about 8 different countries around the world. We're in Poland, and we're in the Baltic States, and we're in Brussels, and we're Canada. We're all over the place.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, so we're easy to find. You can find me on Facebook. You can type in Child of the 70s on Facebook and find us there. You can also find me on Facebook. I'm also Michael Vaccaro on Instagram. You can find Michael Vaccaro or Child of the 70s on Twitter. We're all over the place. And I would love to, if there are any fans out there, I hope you're watching the show. I hope you enjoy it. And I'm more than happy to talk to all of you.
Well, Michael, thank you so much. Hold on line for just a second, guys. We've been talking with Michael Vaccaro. So excited to have you on, my friend. We're going to finish up with Blake MacGyver, a good friend of the show, his marriage equality anthem from last year, This Is Who We Are, as we celebrate Pride. And we'll be back in just a couple seconds. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Pulling past the signpost of this tiny weathered town, the tears welled up so high inside, I thought that I might drown. Everything different, but it all looks the same. And now you're here beside me, and I'm rid of all my shame. I just hope that they will see what is always been in me. How much do I love you?
And that is Blake MacGyver with This Is Who We Are. Guys, it's been a rough 2 days. Thanks for tuning in there. I'm so happy for my guest today. Thank you to Michael Vaccaro. Thank you so much to Zachary Thor. It's been a great afternoon sharing with you. We'll have another show tomorrow with the amazing, amazing Emerson Collins and Jeffrey Marsh. So I hope you're back at 2 o'clock Pacific time, 5 o'clock Eastern time. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Left of Straight. That's LeftOfStr and the number 8. You can find us on Facebook at Left of Straight Show or my personal page, Scott Fullerton. And you can always check out the website at www.leftofstraight.com. Be sure you're downloading that iPhone app at the App Store at Left of Straight Radio so you never miss an episode. Android apps will be coming very soon. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. I really appreciate you listening to the show. It's been a great time getting to know everyone. By the way, Podcast Awards, the voting ended last night. Thank you for everyone that voted. I'm not expecting to win, but I've had so much support the last 2 weeks while voting's been open. The actual awards are on Saturday, June 26th at 8 p.m. So we'll find out who won there. Like I said, I'm not expecting to win, but you never know what happens. And I'm with some great group of people there. So I will let you know after that happens on the 26th. So tune in tomorrow, 2 o'clock Pacific, 5 o'clock Eastern time. We'll be back again with another Left of Straight show. I'm your host, Scott Fullerton. And as Ellen says, be good to each other. Have a great day. Bye-bye.